The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And it's the final week of August, which means it's the final week of the NFL preseason, but still, believe it or not, 14 days away from the opening kickoff of the 93rd season of Chicago Bears football, September 8th, Soldier Field against the visiting Cincinnati Bengals. A pleasant good evening to all of you, whether you're on your drive home, out and about, or just kicking back on this very warm Monday night in Chicago. Pleased to be talking Bears football with you. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by head coach Mark Trestman on the maiden voyage of the Bears Coaches Show, circa 2013, of the brand new Hallis Hall radio studio with our executive producer Greg Miller here in Lake Forest. Quite a sight, Hallis Hall, the reconstruction project complete. Maybe a few decorations needed to be added so far, but it is going to be a museum. It's going to be an outstanding place to visit if you have the good fortune of coming by Hallis Hall in Lake Forest, because the players are enjoying it, the people who come to work here every day and all the other departments really enjoying what they're going to see. Later on in the show tonight, we're going to be joined by strength and conditioning coordinator Mike Clark. Each week of the season during the Mark Trestman Bears Coaches Show, we'll have one of the members of his coaching staff. We'll be talking about the new weightlifting plan that has been put in place here, really from the offseason upon Mike's hiring. He's been with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Seattle Seahawks, and he will outline some of the details of how that has transpired. A lot of things happening, obviously, getting ready for the Week 1 opener. They had a very successful game in Oakland. Let's call it what it is. It is a preseason game, but when you score in five of your first six possessions and you pile up better than 250 yards of offense and you score touchdowns, it's a good night offensively. The defense continues to shine now. 12 takeaways in the first three preseason games. Seven interceptions now by seven different players. So they're spreading the wealth, and I really enjoy the blitzing. The blitzing, and that was a topic of discussion today with defensive coordinator Mel Tucker. After practice, the defensive coaches had today. Offensive coaches tomorrow. We'll talk to Jay Cutler tomorrow up here at Hallis Hall. But Mel Tucker talking about the timing of those blitzes. I even asked him, you know, what can we expect? What's the takeaway from all those blitzes very early with the first team defense in that game in Oakland? And it's really just going to be a feel thing, whatever the game plan calls for each and every week. But some of the blitzes that we haven't seen very much of on a regular basis, and if you've heard me call games, you obviously know I love the corner blitz, that Charles Tillman corner blitz sneaking up to the line of scrimmage and laying the lumber on the quarterback. Huge play at a very key time of the game, and some other blitzes. And guys are coming from all over the place. You're talking corners, safeties, linebackers, and they were at key times forcing turnovers. So hopefully we'll see more of that pressure, which is something that has been a part of the Bears' defense, obviously, but sound defense for the Bears was always a four-man pass rush. That's where you generate your pressure. Updating some injury news today. No practice today for the cornerback Zachary Bowman. He suffered a hamstring injury in the game against Oakland. Don't know what his status is. Probably day-to-day right now. JT Thomas, the veteran linebacker, trying to make this football team by way of the backup linebacker position or on special teams, obviously, did not practice today. And Armando Allen, had a chance to visit with him as well. The third-year running back has been out since August the 9th with his hamstring. He's practicing. He's hoping he can play in the finale against the Browns, but he's not quite sure just yet, but he's going to give it his best shot in a competition right now for the number three running back job with Michael Ford, the undrafted rookie free agent who's shown that he can be a playmaker. 100-yard kickoff return against San Diego and that great two-spin touchdown in Friday night's win against Oakland. Very impressive. He's got a lot of tools in the shed, and that's a good competition. There's several competitions at various levels of this team in the backup role. A lot of that's going to be decided on special teams. Had a chance to visit with Joe DeCamillis, the Bears special teams coordinator, and he made it clear that, yeah, it's a big factor in guys making the bottom end of this roster, how guys fit, and it is a big puzzle. That puzzle's starting to get much clearer after the release of 14 players yesterday. No major surprises, but certainly some veterans on there like Tommy Zbikowski and Leonard Pope, the veteran tight end, Derek Martin, who came in to try and see if he could be somewhat of a depth player at the cornerback position or the nickel position where Isaiah Frye is kicking it in gear, is maybe the number one nickel. Those are guys that are going to have to be filled in now with younger players. So those are the things we'll be watching as we get ready for preseason game number 4 against the Cleveland Browns. And that'll be coming up at 6 o'clock with our pregame show at Soldier Field with Tom Thayer and myself. Kickoff will go underway at 7 p.m. Now joining us, albeit meetings to the hilt, the man never stops meeting. Lots to accomplish. Bears head coach Mark Trestman, kind enough to join us. Mark, good evening and welcome to the inaugural Bears Coaches Show. How are you doing? Yeah, thanks for joining us, and we'll have a couple of minutes here before we have to step away for WBBM traffic and weather together on the 8th. But after what you saw on Friday night with your eyes, what was confirmed when you put the tape on?
Well, I thought we got better. I thought the guys did a great job of going west, taking a long trip, spending 48 hours on the West Coast and getting themselves ready to play. They came out and played hard and fast. We made corrections over the last couple days with them. We got ways to get better. But the effort was very good. And the results were good, too. We came out with a win.
On both sides of the ball, a lot of good things. We're going to take time to go into that in the next couple of segments. But what's the one thing that you needed to see in that game that you came away with feeling really good?
Well, we were straight up about it. We needed to get more involved with our passing game. We needed to throw the football and give our guys up front a chance to protect. And we picked up some blitzes, gave Jay a chance to, you know, complete a throwing motion and find receivers, and we were able to get open. So all a good sign. We were able to balance it out with a good running attack. Defensively, we were consistent again for the third straight week in creating turnovers. Special teams made some plays. I was also pleased, as I have been the last 3 weeks, with our penalties were at a minimum. Our discipline was very good. We had one out-of-bounds penalty on the defensive side of the ball midway in the third quarter, I believe. But overall, the first half, we played smart, disciplined football and created some turnovers and took care of the ball.
All right, Bears head coach Mark Trestman. The Coach's Show is underway. And coming up shortly after 7 o'clock, we'll be joined by first-year Bears strength and conditioning coordinator Mike Clark.
The Bears Coach's Show with head coach Mark Trestman and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Jay out of the shotgun, quick flip in the flat, caught by Forte, 35-30, breaks a tackle to the 20, 15, 10, 5! End zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! A little flip to the flat for Matt Forte. He's in from 32 yards. And the Bears strike quickly after the Jennings interception.
And Matt Forte's touchdown catch, Mark Trestman, actually caught 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And that's the beauty of an offense like this, because what happens after the catch is like one big handoff on that one. But the blocking upfield is what really made that play finish like that. And you have the big bodies to pull that off, that Alshon block, Bennett. Not once, but twice on that run.
Yeah, it was a heck of a play. We got the ball back in great field position after the turnover. I think that was after Tim's interception. We kicked out the ball. A lot went into the play. We had our 5-on-5 up front. If you saw Jordan Mills, he had to reach out and cut the end, which got his hands down, which enabled us to get the ball to Matt. And then out in front, the jobs of Alshon on the outside lane was to block the corner, which he did very effectively. And Matt made the linebacker miss, actually, by just giving a little limp leg and then slipping out to the right. And then Martellus finished with 2 blocks, and Matt used his speed to get in the end zone. So a lot of guys helping out on that play. Certainly some great running by Matt, some great perimeter blocking by Martellus and Alshon. But also up front, even though it was a quick throw, the key block was really Jordan Mills blocking the end and getting his hands down so he can make the throw.
And that's the underrated aspect of that play, because if it's knocked out of the line of scrimmage or it's off the trajectory even a little bit, boom, play could be blown up or a shorter gain.
Or a lateral. I mean, it could have been an overthrow and a lateral. So, you know, when we point these plays out to our guys, I do a connectivity tape with the team where I show the defensive guys the offensive plays and the offensive guys the defensive plays, and that's one of the ones we showed. You know, the guys are sitting on the bench. They're getting ready for the next series, and Martellus Bennett is throwing 2 blocks to get the defense back out there, you know, after a touchdown. So, we try to show the guys what everybody's doing to help the team.
By literal definition, then, just the whole idea, which is the premise of if there's a mission statement, it's building team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the guys sometimes, because they're working on the – John Hoke's talking to the defensive backfield, and they're not watching the play, so – the day after the game, you sit in a meeting and say, this is why we won, because Jordan Mills reached and cut a block, that Martellus Bennett got two blocks on this play. It's not about me, it's about us. And that's part of the reason to point all those things out.
And Matt's touchdown is the Bears play of the week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. 6:45 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. This is the Bears Coaches Show at the Chicago Bears Network Radio Studios at Hallis Hall. The whole building is buzzing, not only because of the life pumped into the building right now with a new season, new staff, new players, et cetera, but the building itself. And this is some kind of masterpiece right now. Isn't it great?
It really is. I mean, you know, we kind of put it in perspective. I showed the guys a picture that I took of the building being done early on, and it had two construction workers on their knees putting all those bricks together in front. That isn't one slab. Men got on their hands and knees to put that thing brick to brick, back together. I mean, to rebuild it. And, you know, we talked about rebuilding our team. It's we've rebuilt this hall, but we haven't torn it down. And we've done the same thing with our locker room. We haven't torn our locker room apart. We just rejuvenated with a little bit of new look, bringing in Matt Slauson and bringing in Bushrod and Martellus Bennett. But the core is there, just like this building is there. So we've tried to use that as kind of a metaphor for how we've rejuvenated our football team.
Let's talk about that game again, and specifically the decision-making of Jay Cutler. So many things went well. 12 completions to 5 different targets, 21 attempts to 7 different targets overall, and for the most part, working in a clean pocket. So what did you like about the decision-making of Jay?
Well, it's much easier to make decisions with a clean pocket than the accountability goes to the quarterback and to the guys catching the football. And that's what we're looking for. And he did a good job. He took care of the ball. He threw it away. He threw it in the dirt once just to throw it away, and he threw it out of bounds to throw it away. And he was very accurate throwing the football, and he has been throughout the preseason. He's had 2 picks. We've talked about them extensively. But he's done a lot of good things, and what we saw in the field is what we've seen in practice for the most part throughout. So it's a good sign. We're not getting, as I said after the game, and I'll say it now, we're not getting ahead of ourselves. The guys really do realize we've got a lot of work to do to get better. We're ascending. We've seen signs that we can be good. We're not going to use this 30 minutes to define ourselves. We won't know really who we are until February.
Right.
And we're just going to try to get better every day along the way.
And still, as I said at the top of the show, 14 days until the kickoff of week one.
Yeah, we're working like it's training camp today. We worked very hard today. We're going to work the ones again tomorrow real hard, and we're going to work them on Wednesday real hard because they're not playing. So we're just using this as the last week of training camp, and we're doing it in a competitive environment. We got a great defense. Every day we can go against our defense, we become a better offense. We're working hard to get each side of the ball better.
And indoors today, will you stay that way? It's a heat wave. This is an August heat wave, old Chicago style.
It is. We're going to go out tomorrow. We didn't want to go out today. They're coming off a West Coast trip. They've had a day off. You know, there's physical factors and there's safety issues involved. They went very hard today. We're going to put them on the grass tomorrow outside and get them in condition and get some final conditioning done tomorrow. And then we'll go inside on Wednesday to finish it up. And then we'll have a 4-day break, and then we'll be off to the races.
Against the Cincinnati Bengals and the planning for that. More with Mark Trestman coming up here in just a moment.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Snap, quick throw, slant, caught. Jeffrey spins to the outside. He's got the sideline of the 45. Had a first down in the Raider territory. Brought down to the 48-yard line of the Raiders.
Alshon Jeffrey, our Bears Player of the Game, brought to you by Tempur-Pedic. And what a game it was with Mark Trestman here on the Bears Coaches Show from Hallis Hall. Thanks for joining us tonight. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mike Clark, the Bears Strength and Conditioning Coordinator. Alshon, 7 catches, but the impact of those 7 catches, 6 first downs, including that big one right there. He also had another third down that he turned into a 12-yard gain. The feel, though, because, you would have called that a slant, right? And a slant or not?
We call it a bullet.
Okay.
That particular one's a bullet because it's quicker than a slant. He made a great catch. We had a third and it was less than a yard. And they overloaded the box. And we had Alshon on a specific pattern to attack the coverage that they were playing. and Jay took the ball and threw it out there to him. He made a great catch, and he's really been doing, he did it just what he's been doing in the entire training camp. He comes to work, he's as quiet as can be, and he's as bright as can be. You tell him one time, he knows exactly what to do, where to line up, and how to do it, and sometimes he doesn't even need a rep, and he does it right. And then he goes out and practices as hard as he can for 2 hours and doesn't say a word. And you're seeing some of that product, and you saw some of that product this week, and we're hopeful that it will sustain itself throughout the season.
Watching him a year ago, and you watched him on tape, obviously, in your evaluation of the roster, but just from my eyes, you can see it popping right before you, the confidence, the way he carries himself.
I think it started in the off season. You know, he spent a lot of time with Brandon working out, getting himself in shape, proper nutrition, and really, you know, educating himself to the things he needs to do to be an elite player in this league. And he did that, and he's worked very, very hard. And you can see it's on a day-to-day. Anybody who's been at training camp daily can see that there's been this, you know, ascending development each and every day, and the work ethic that's gone into it.
First wave of roster cuts came. So the process of that at this level, you know, in concert with the scouts and general manager Phil Emery, how did you see the process unfolding before you? And was it a comfortable process? And has the evaluation process been what you expected?
It's been unbelievable. I mean, working together, you know, side by side with Phil and the personnel department, and the personnel department working side by side with the coaches. There's input from everybody. There's a litany of information that's evaluated and input that's gone into it. These decisions are not only important decisions for our organization, but they're lifelong dreams that we're dealing with as well as people. And we recognize that the people that we let go have had a dream their whole life, and we had to tell them that it wasn't going to happen here, at least at this point in time. It could happen eventually around the corner, but not right now. But the process went very smooth. It was detailed. Kevin Turks and the staff did a great job of orchestrating people in and out of the building. We had a chance for each coach to speak with them, the coordinators to speak with them. I spoke with every guy leaving and wished them well, and let them know that you never burn a bridge in this business, that the thing, we could always circle back. A lot of these guys put 6 months of hard work. I told our team that yesterday, that, you know, text these guys up. They spent 6 months trying to help our team get better. And a lot of where we were at this weekend was a result of the work that they put in. And they deserve that credit and their respect.
Really, only because of HBO and Hard Knocks, when the veil is ripped aside, you see coaches visit with players. Don't know if every coach has the time to visit with every player, but it sounds like that's going to be what you're going to at least try to do.
You have to make time. I mean, with few and far exceptions, you have to make time. And you know, we've just decided the protocol will be the coach that coached him, the assistant, the coordinator, those that cross over to special teams. Joe DeCamillis talked to everybody, and I got a chance to see everybody who left the building.
Moving forward, from what you've seen for the first three games, what you've seen in practice, which is not to be understated here, that is a big element in this evaluation process, goes a long way in determining how everything's going to fit from your point of view and the organization's point of view. Anything becoming clearer to your satisfaction at the key spots that are the battles right now?
I don't know. I think we're just let it happen. I haven't thought that much about it because there's really no need to make a decision right now. So I'm not trying to foresee what may happen. We're just going to let it go. And next weekend we'll sit down and we'll evaluate where we are, and who's going to start, who's going to back up, who we're going to keep on the 53. And go from there, and who we're going to have to let go, and we'll take our time. But, you know, there's still a couple days to gather information. There's still another game to be played. There's still time to make those decisions. So I haven't really burdened myself with trying to think that far in advance.
As a start, though, that offensive line looked very, very solid. So are they pointed in the right direction, that five?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, we're still going to give it time. We're going to give it the rest of the week. We're not going to, you know, annoyed anybody or have to make decisions that we don't have to make. But, you know, as I said after the game, I thought, you know, as a group, the five guys, you know, we played well. We made some mistakes. We took some wrong steps. We missed some pickups. It wasn't clean entirely. They were learnable moments, but we felt that we're moving in the right direction.
All right, Mark, we're going to let you go. Appreciate the first of many Bears coaches shows in 2013. I know you got a lot of work to do getting ready.
It's great to be with you, Jeff. Thank you for having me tonight.
We will circle back with Mark a little bit later on in the show. Coming up next, Mike Clark, the Bears strength and conditioning coordinator, will join us.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. And this hour, featuring strength and conditioning coordinator Mike Clark. Brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana. And sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Snap, back, Flynn, under heat, on the blitz from the corner, and down he goes. Charles Tillman back to the 45-yard line. I love it.
Oh, yeah, I love the corner blitz. Mike Clark, the Bears strength and conditioning coordinator, joining us now. Welcome to the program. Pull yourself up close to that mic and say hello. I love the corner blitz. I've told every coach to come through this building for the last 17 years, the corner blitz, and there it was right before my eyes. It was unbelievable. The guy's only had three career sacks, but you know the athlete now. You've worked with him for the last six, 7 months, so maybe he can add to his impressive totals as one of the best. If not, I say he is the best corner in Bears history.
I wouldn't refute that at all. He's he's a phenomenal athlete, takes care of himself unbelievably well.
Not an ounce of fat on that guy.
Very little. You know, I could almost say, all right, whenever we have an official weigh-in, it's for the whole team except Charles. Don't worry about it. But he is that disciplined, and he works extremely hard, and he is the package. So I've really enjoyed getting to know him and getting a chance to work with him.
And getting to know the fellas overall has been your number one project, obviously, because that's a key element of this. You could fill up that nice new weight room, which looks spectacular, by the way, and you must be very proud to work in those kind of conditions. And it is expanded and larger, and it has all the bells and whistles, the Clyde Emmerich weight room,
yes.
The legend, as Tom Thayer and myself refer to him on a regular basis, the first Bear strength coach, I believe, in 1971. It looks great, but unless you have relationships with those individual guys who then believe in you, that you're going to get them to where you'd like them to go and where they'd like to go, the whole thing doesn't matter.
It absolutely does not. And actually, the room is nice and as pretty and as beautiful as it is. It doesn't do a thing for you. It doesn't. Those weights sitting there, they're in there right now, and nobody's lifting them. They're just sitting there. It's what you do in it. And if our guys don't buy in and they don't push and they don't allow themselves to be uncomfortable on a regular basis and get uncomfortable, you're not going to get anything done. And it's been a nice, really nice transition for me, and that these guys have done a great job with that. They really have pushed themselves. We've got numerous players who truly enjoy the weight room, or the ones who don't enjoy it, at least they know how important it is to their career, and they have truly bought in and trained extremely hard.
And they're listening, I'd imagine, in part to this new philosophy, and we'll touch on exactly what it is you put on the table for these guys to grow into, but you were with Kansas City for 3 years, the Chiefs. You're with the Seattle Seahawks and a long college career as well, multiple big universities from Texas A&M to Oregon to USC, and I know I'm missing a couple, but, you know, that carries, forgive the pun, some weight in that room, I'd imagine. Or not.
Well, it does. It at least gives you the chance to stand up and introduce yourself. And that's about how far that really goes. Because they want to know, can you help me? Can you help me get better? And if you can convince them of that, you'll get a huge buy-in for most of them. Most of them, when they see that, they're willing to go and do whatever it is you ask them to do. And one thing I've told them from the day one is I will treat you like a world-class athlete. And the reason I say that is because that's what they are. And there's certain ways that world-class athletes train and take care of themselves, and that's what we're trying to do.
I love how you referred to it as willing to be uncomfortable, because I've been around sports for 30 years covering it and, you know, playing whatever it is I did play at a low level, I might add. But the fear that must be overcome to take all that weight, and you're going into more powerlifting, Olympic training, combination of both, to be able to do that and talk yourself through that is the big hurdle. There is a fear element that, oh, my gosh, can I do that?
Well, there is a fear element, but that fear oftentimes just helps them to concentrate, helps them to focus on what it is they're getting ready to do. And we never ask them to get under something that I've never asked them to get under anything or to do anything that I don't think they can. I'm never going to try to set them up for failure. That's not the goal. The goal is to set them up for complete success. However, they do have to get uncomfortable, and they do have to feel like they're getting better. The old saying, if you always do what you've always done, you'll never be more than what you've always been. And I tell them that all the time. And so we try to get them to always do more and to try things a little differently at times. And this group's been very good with that.
And, you know, even in the last decade, of which time you've been in the NFL, have things changed because and how you get to them? Because they all have agents. They all have their own guys they go to during some off-season work that they, you know, listen to other people as well. Do you have to fight that sometimes, or do you supplement or have that be supplemental to what you're trying to do?
You know, I've taken a different approach with that. I try to embrace it. I try to encourage them to go to places that train world-class athletes. You know, if you're going to do that, then I'm not going to be upset or nervous at all. Now, if they go someplace and all they're doing is an executive fitness program, that's not so good. That's truly not. And so I don't discourage it, but I do tell them that, you know, world-class athlete, power athlete, 80% of everything he does, he needs to do on his feet. And if you're going someplace and they're not doing that, you might reconsider. You're not training like a football player should or like an athlete should.
707 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. This is the Bears Coaches Show with Mike Clark. He is the Bears Strength and Conditioning Coordinator. Listen to the next Bears All Access Radio Show brought to you by Sports Authority Thursday, August 29th at 6 on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Explain a little further what you are referring to when you say on your feet, the whole philosophy of training on your feet.
Well, you play the game on your feet. You've been out to practice and somebody falls down, you hear numerous coaches and other players, stay up, stay up. We don't want guys on the ground. We want them on the ground on game day when they're making a tackle, but that's about it. And if they can't generate force and power while they're standing up on their feet through the ground, then they're not going to be very fast. They're not going to be explosive. No defensive linemen are going to get pushed around. Offensive linemen aren't going to be able to push anybody around. You're not going to be able to protect Jay. So strength on your feet is just that. You've got to train standing up with dynamic movements, multi-joint movements, and you've got to be strong on your feet or you're weak.
And the idea of explosion is the catchphrase, along with Phil Emery, your good friend, and the guy you helped along in a strength career as well. We'll get to that in our next segment, but his whole thing is I need players that bring dynamic qualities on the football field, and those are not guys that are easily found.
No, they're not. Now, you can always enhance it, but you're still looking for that guy that's got rare dynamic abilities to be explosive. When he puts a foot in the ground, he changes direction now. That when he drives forward into his opponent, that opponent reacts and reacts the way you want him to. Those are the kinds of forces and power that we're all looking for. Now, we try to enhance that no matter who we have and what their abilities are. The idea is to make every one of them just a little bit better.
The Bears Coaches Show with Strength and Conditioning Coordinator Mike Clark and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Brings a receiver in motion. Toss, sweep, right side. Evan Britton the block. The cut by 4 to the 10. Spins out of a hit at the 5 and into the end zone for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. And that one got me out of my seat here in the fourth. Michael Ford, outstanding.
Yeah, the young man out of LSU, undrafted rookie free agent. Couple of spin moves. We're here with Mike Clark, Bears strength and conditioning coordinator. He's been impressive to watch. And, you know, you're just not the strength and conditioning coordinator. You are a football guy. You have been around a lot of football, haven't you?
I started out as a graduate assistant being an outside linebacker coach. And I was studying exercise physiology, and I'd been done a couple of competitive weightlifting events. Our head coach came in and wanted to know if I would go down and help the strength coach for a while. And we were cutting up tape back then, and I had a blitz in my hand called 53 Bud Blue, and I stuck it up on the wall, and I go, yeah, I'll do that. And that's the last time I've been in a film room.
You go back better than two decades with general manager Phil Emery. How'd that start?
He was at the University of Tennessee, and I'm not even sure where I was coaching at the time. We met at a strength coaches convention, and yes, it's also known as the Meathead Convention. we met, and we were just talking training. We struck up a friendship, and we just kept it going. And our philosophies are, and I hate to call it a philosophy, our programs were similar, about training on your feet and all the things we just discussed. And I'll never forget the day that I talked to him. He said he was going to resign his position as head strength coach at Naval Academy and going to scouting. And I was like, why? And every time I say that, his wife gets mad at me. She goes, but that's what he wanted to do. And I understand that, but I was thinking, but why would you want to leave strength and conditioning? Because he's such a good coach. But I think it's worked out well for him.
Yeah, and it's the reason you guys are together right now in many respects.
Yes.
So it helps out.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And you're joined by Mike Clark, the strength and conditioning coordinator. It's the Bears and Browns in the final preseason game on the Chicago Bears Network, brought to you by North Shore University Health System and airing locally on Fox 32 Chicago and throughout the Midwest on the Chicago Bears Network of stations here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. All right, so Stephen Paya is a huge weight room guy, and Roberto Garza, legendary as well. Who's stronger?
I think you'd have to ask. I'll give you the answer, but it just depends on what you're asking him to do, what lift it is. Right now, Garza's got him in the one that I think is the king of the exercises for us, and that's the power clean. Garza's hit a 364, and Paya's hit a 353. Both of them will do more than that in the future, but the shortage our offseason is now, they didn't have time to really get into it.
All right, real quick. All the quarterbacks on the roster, power cleaning over 300 pounds. I think if most people were to be asked if that was possible, they'd say, huh? Why are you having them doing it?
Well, first of all, they're power athletes. Now, we did it in the offseason. We're not doing that now during camp. But they are power athletes. When they do that quick three-step drop, put a foot in the ground, that ball's got to come out now. And if they're not strong and powerful, it doesn't.
Mike, we appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming down. The strength and conditioning coordinator of the Chicago Bears. We look forward to a long relationship with you on this program and throughout the season. Good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's Mike Clark. Earlier tonight, head coach Mark Trestman taking a look at how things have progressed so far here in the preseason, looking at how the building of this team is taking shape. Alshon, seven catches, but the impact of those seven catches, six first downs, including that big one right there. He also had another third down that he turned into a 12-yard gain. The feel, though, because, I mean, you would have called that a slant, right? And a slant or not?
We call it a bullet.
Okay.
That particular one's a bullet because it's quicker than a slant. But, yeah, he made a great catch. We had a third, and it was less than a yard. And they overloaded the box, and we had Alshon on a specific pattern to attack the coverage that they were playing. And Jay took the ball and threw it out there to him. He made a great catch. And he's really been doing, he did it just what he's been doing in the entire training camp. He comes to work. He's as quiet as can be, and he's as bright as can be. You tell him one time, he knows exactly what to do, where to line up, and how to do it. And sometimes he doesn't even need a rep, and he does it right. And then he goes out and practices as hard as he can for 2 hours and doesn't say a word. And you're seeing some of that product, and you saw some of that product this week, and we're hopeful that it will.
First wave of roster cuts came. So the process of that at this level, in concert with the scouts and general manager Phil Emery, how did you see the process unfolding before you, and was it a comfortable process, and has the evaluation process been what you expected?
It's been unbelievable. I mean, working together, side by side with Phil and the personnel department, and the personnel department working side by side with the coaches. There's input from everybody. There's a litany of information that's evaluated and input that's gone into it. These decisions are not only important decisions for our organization, but they're lifelong dreams that we're dealing with as well as people. And we recognize that the people that we let go of had a dream their whole life, and we had to tell them that it wasn't going to happen here, at least at this point in time. It could happen eventually, around the corner, but not right now. But the process went very smooth. It was detailed, and Kevin Turks and the staff did a great job of orchestrating people in and out of the building. We had a chance for each coach to speak with them, the coordinators to speak with them. I spoke with every guy leaving and wished them well and let them know that you never burn a bridge in this business, that the thing we could always circle back. A lot of these guys put 6 months of hard work. I told our team that yesterday that, you know, text these guys up. They spent 6 months trying to help our team get better. And a lot of where we were at this weekend was a result of the work that they put in. And they deserve that credit and their respect.
Really, only because of HBO and Hard Knocks, when the veil is ripped aside, you see coaches visit with players. Don't know if every coach has the time to visit with every player, but it sounds like that's going to be what you're going to at least try to do.
You have to make time. I mean, it's with few and far exceptions, you have to make time. And, you know, we've just decided the protocol will be the coach that coached him, the assistant, the coordinator, those that cross over to special teams. Joe DeCamillis talked to everybody, and I got a chance to see everybody who left the building.
Moving forward, from what you've seen for the first three games, what you've seen in practice, which is not to be understated here, that is a big element in this evaluation process, goes a long way in determining how everything's going to fit from your point of view and in the organization's point of view. Anything becoming clearer to your satisfaction at the key spots that are the battles right now?
I don't know. I think we're just let it happen. I haven't thought that much about it because there's really no need to make a decision right now. So I'm not trying to foresee what may happen. We're just going to let it go. And next weekend we'll sit down and we'll evaluate where we are and who's going to start, who's going to back up, who we're going to keep on the 53 and go from there, and who we're going to have to let go. And we'll take our time. But, you know, there's still a couple days to gather information. There's still another game to be played. There's still time to make those decisions. So I haven't really burdened myself with trying to think that far in advance.
All right, that's going to wrap up our first show. Appreciate the time. It's going to be a fun season, that's for sure. For head coach Mark Trestman, I'm Jeff Joniak. Also for Mike Clark and our executive producer of Bears Broadcasting, Greg Miller. Thanks, as always, to Andy Gersher and our studio producer, Steve Grzanis. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on the Bears Coaches Show on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.